MZTV.
Welcome to MZTV. I am Martin Zender. I was surmising yesterday whether or not Paul was in his own category, all by himself, at the tippy top of the body of Christ heap. And now I can say unequivocally that the answer is no. No. I know this seems incredible, but this is the humility of the man. I'm going to take you to a passage, 1 Corinthians 9. I'm just going to do this for the first part of the show. Then I'm going to go to Johnny Green and show you the worst commentary on the book of Romans you have ever heard in your life. I have ever heard in my life. It's worse than any Christian teaching I've ever heard on Romans from Johnny Green. But before that, Paul sets himself up. He describes himself as someone. Well, I'm just going to read it to you because you will hardly be able to believe it. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. The first thing Paul says in verse 14 is that thus the Lord also prescribes that those who are announcing the evangel are to be living of the evangel. He's very clear about this in 1 Corinthians 9. Paul said he had the right to live of the evangel, but he did not use the right. He was the inaugurator of this teaching. He was the administrator of it. He was under very much scrutiny, and so he didn't even use his right to take a wife. He had the right to take a wife, but he said, no, I'm not going to do it. Now I'm going to do it. But listen to this in verse 17. For if I am, and remember, there are other teachers now, and he tells Timothy that the worker is worthy of his wage. This was brought forward from the law. The law also said a worker is worthy of the wage. Do not muzzle the threshing ox. That is, you feed the ox that is threshing. And Paul, using the soldier analogy in 2 Timothy, says a soldier warring is not supplying his own rations, but is given his food and his livelihood from God so that he may war the ideal warfare. So Paul definitely is prescribing this, even for Timothy. Paul tells Timothy, this is what you are to do. You're to expect to be ministered to with physical things because you are ministering spiritual things. You have the words of aeonian life. Is it any great thing then that the ones who are benefiting from your work should minister to you physical things that sustain life, so on and so forth? So in verse 17, Paul says, for if I am engaging in this, that is this work, voluntarily, I have wages. Yet if involuntarily, I have been entrusted with an administration. This is all completely in the relative viewpoint. If I am engaging in this voluntarily, and Paul said, I did not volunteer for this. Yet if involuntarily, I've been entrusted with an administration. The shocking truth here is that everyone after Paul has entered into this voluntarily. I know the absolute viewpoint. Nobody volunteers for anything, Martin. God is calling. God is doing. God is pulling. God is giving the grace to strive for the high calling. He's giving the gifts to teachers and so on and so forth. Yes, I know that. Get that out of your mind for now. This is not the absolute viewpoint. Paul is comparing entering into this work voluntarily versus involuntarily. He says he was drafted into this work involuntarily, which means he did not want it. He did not decide relatively to do it. And so in his mind, he doesn't get a wage here on earth because he didn't decide. He didn't give up his livelihood to do this. Paul didn't give up his livelihood to do this. He was violently taken. Timothy, on the other hand, is a different story. Timothy entered into this work voluntarily. Paul had to cajole him. Timothy had opportunities in this life. Timothy was a young man. We know that. And Timothy was tempted, I believe, to partake of the worldly sustenance, worldly jobs, whatever it was, to not suffer evil with the evangel. This is why Paul is encouraging him to suffer evil with the evangel. He's reminding him of the time he placed his hands over him and gave him a charge. So Timothy is not entering into this work involuntarily. He is volunteering. Paul makes the distinction here, so don't go absolute on me, please. Please don't say, nobody volunteers. Don't go absolute on me, please. That's out of view here. What is in view is, Paul says, if I am engaging in this voluntarily, I have wages. And he's been talking about wages. The worker's worthy of the wages. So obviously some people do enter it voluntarily. I contend to you, based on this verse, that everyone since Paul has entered into this work voluntarily. I entered into it voluntarily. I sat around for a year and thought about it, mulled it over, read the scriptures. Paul did not think about it, mull about it, search the scriptures. He did not. He did not volunteer. So this man is actually giving more credence, more deservedness as far as wages go to others besides himself, because he is honoring the fact that other people actually think about it and do it. Knowing from reading about Paul how freaking difficult it is. Paul is honoring Timothy. Oh, he didn't know when he died if Timothy followed through on his call, but Paul's going to find out when he rises from the dead with Timothy. The dead shall rise first. Thereupon we, the living, who are surviving to the presence of the Lord, shall at the same time be snatched away together with them to meet the Lord in the air. Paul's going to find out. Timothy went for it. Timothy entered into it voluntarily. And Paul told Timothy, you have the right to receive wages. No soldier has to look at his watch in the foxhole and say, oh, I got to go to the grocery store. Paul says the soldier is supplied his rations by the army, by those who enlist him. And in that case, the enlister was Christ. This is an incredible verse. This hit me a couple years ago. So Paul is really anti-distinguishing himself. And I say this again because it's so shocking. Everyone entering into this work, into this career, after Paul has done so voluntarily. Paul, no, he recognizes that. This is going to sound radical, but this is what Paul is saying. Paul did not sacrifice to enter into the call. He sacrificed once he had the call. Nobody has sacrificed more. Nobody has sacrificed more. But as far as entering into the work, if I am engaging in this, if I am engaging in this voluntarily, I have wages. Yet if involuntarily, in other words, this is my case, I have been entrusted with an administration that is higher. To be entrusted with an administration is higher. And just when you read that, you think, okay, well then Paul does have an exclusive place in the high calling above. Well, let's go to Philippians chapter 3 and find out if that's the case. Philippians 3:13. Brethren, not as yet am I reckoning myself to have grasped, that is, grasping also that for which I was grasped also by Christ Jesus, verse 12. Yet one thing, forgetting indeed those things which are behind, yet stretching out to those in front toward the goal, am I pursuing for the prize. This is not salvation, as I told you. For the prize of God's calling above in Christ Jesus. Verse 15. Why didn't this verse hit me yesterday? Whoever then are mature may be disposed to this. To what? The prize of God's calling above in Christ Jesus. And I remind you, in 2 Timothy, Paul said, I finished my career. This man is a career soldier. And Timothy, I believe, was a career soldier. And we have this word because of Timothy. You can look at it that way. You can look at it that way. We have the scriptures because of Timothy. Who got the scriptures together? Who gathered Paul's letters? I believe it was Timothy. It wasn't Paul. Paul's too busy running around. You think Paul was able to go back and say, did everybody have a copy of my letters? I think Timothy did that. Paul knew that ravenous wolves would come in to the ecclesia after he was gone, and he was desperate to pass the baton to somebody who was ideally young. And Paul told Timothy, don't let anyone despise your youth, and who could pass it along with dedication But Timothy was on the brink. That's why Paul reminds him to rekindle the gift that is in you. Why does he have to rekindle it? Because he was losing it, Timothy was. Whoever then are mature may be disposed to this, and if anything you are differently disposed, this also shall God reveal to you. So, your comments yesterday were so great. Many people were looking honestly at their own lives and wondering, what calling am I in? I'm not shipwrecked, but I am holding on to the faith. I'm keeping the faith. I'm carrying my own salvation into effect. And if that's you, and many people had to admit, I think this is me because I don't really have it in me to war. I don't like to hear dissenting voices. I get too upset when I hear God's name dragged through the mud. I just can't contend in that arena. So I'm content to be carrying my own salvation into effect. I didn't emphasize that those two words yesterday. Philippians 2:12. That is mature. Because Paul says, if anything, you are differently disposed, and a few of you were differently disposed to this. You don't want to pursue the prize above or the high calling. I mean, and that's fine. Because Paul said, if in anything you're differently disposed, this also shall God reveal to you. And there were so many precious brothers and sisters commenting yesterday. You, how honestly you're assessing not your membership in the body of Christ. Nobody's assessing that. We all have that. Just looking at yourself and where is my calling? What's my disposition? Is this in me? Am I disposed to this? God will reveal it to you, Paul says. Moreover, and this is important, I talked about this before, in what we outstrip others, that is, if there's any area in which you are racing faster than someone else, or you are warring harder than someone else, there's to be a mutual disposition. That is, no one is to be lording it over any other member of the body of Christ. There's to be a mutual disposition to be observing the elements by the same rule. In other words, those who are pursuing the high calling and finishing the career, they are to sit Indian style underground with everybody else, opening the scriptures and reading about justification, reading about conciliation, all the basics of the faith. That is what Paul means by of a mutual disposition to be observing the elements by the same rule. We don't have a different set of rules, one for those pursuing the high calling and one for those who are merely, it's a hard thing as it is to carry the faith. That's not a mere thing, believe me. Paul says that in Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians 4, that we who are surviving to the coming of the Lord, you're surviving, you're doing a great job, congratulations. The same rule, these are the elements of the faith. We are to be discussing these things together, and no one is to be lording it over you. In fact, he who is great, let him be the servant of them all. This is the principle. This is what the Lord set forth for his disciples. They wanted to know, who's going to sit at your right hand? Who's going to sit at your left hand? Paul did not think this way. This is why he says, I entered into this involuntarily. Everybody else, Timothy is a champion compared to me. He knew what he was facing. He knew what he was walking away from, and yet he entered into this work anyway. I admire that guy. And Timothy might say, Paul, I admire you. Paul would say, don't even start because I didn't volunteer for this. You did. I didn't. That's something to be said for you, Timothy, that I can't brag about. I entered into this involuntarily, so, right? I've been entrusted with an administration. Yeah, that's a rare thing. And Paul is going to get great glory, not for entering into this calling, but for suffering for the calling. That's where Paul's glory is. His glory is not in entering into the work. Paul's going to get greater glory for that. Timothy, I mean, is going to get greater glory for that than Paul. Surprisingly shocking. It's an amazing verse. And then we have Romans 12:3, which says this, for I am saying through the grace which is given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to be overweening. Overweening is kind of an archaic word that means overthinking, overstraining. Don't be overweening what your disposition must be. Paul just used that word in Philippians, didn't he? Don't be overthinking what your disposition must be. That is what God has decided for your life. Yes, Paul said in verse 15 of Philippians 3, whoever then are mature may be disposed to this. And if in anything you are differently disposed, God will reveal this to you. It's all about these four levels I taught on yesterday. The four levels within the body of Christ. Some have a disposition for this. Some have a disposition for that. No one is to lord it over anyone else. No one is to envy anyone else, someone else's call. And we are all to observe the same elements by the same rule. Again, there is not one rule for those straining for the top prize and another rule for those who are carrying their salvation into effect or keeping the faith. No. A beautiful thing. We're observing the elements together. We're all in the same boat. So we have this word here appearing again in Romans 12:3. For I am saying through the grace which is given to me, not to be overweening beyond what your disposition must be, but be of a sane disposition. He uses the word disposition twice. Here, he uses it twice in Philippians chapter 3. But be of a sane disposition. Don't go insane thinking that you're obligated to herald the word when you're not comfortable with it. Don't feel guilty if you don't want to tell a particular family member or your husband or your wife, maybe, that you don't want to tell them about this truth because you're fearful. Maybe you're fearful about retribution. You don't want to go to the wall with this. You don't want to be rejected. You don't want to suffer the evil of that. And so you're going to play it safe. What am I going to say? Or what is anybody else going to say to you? What is Paul going to say to you? Paul's going to say, well done. Don't strain. Keep the faith. Be carrying your own salvation then. Just carry your own salvation into effect. Be a living letter of Christ. Be a light in the world. Don't screw your relatives. You know, that kind of thing. Of course, we're to attend to the teaching, observing the elements. That's what Paul means by that in Philippians 3, observing the elements. Attend to the teaching. You're watching the show. You're watching other shows that herald the evangel of the grace of God. And so you're doing well. Because if you're straining, if you're trying to be more than what God has made you to be, then you will become of an insane disposition. And we don't want that. We don't need any insane people out there. We don't need anyone condemning themselves. I've heard people say, why? It's just not in me. It's just not in me. I just can't do it. I don't want to put myself out there. I don't want to risk anything. I feel like I'm safe in my job, but I feel like I'm too safe. I watch other people risking it all, and I can't do it. And see, you're stressing out over something you're not supposed to be doing. And the last part of verse 3 is, God parts to each the measure of faith. This is faith to be believing, but in the context, you know, let's look at this in the context. I usually always quote this verse as pertaining to the faith to believe the evangel. And that's true also. God parts to each the measure of faith for that. But in fact, in the context here, it is having faith that you are meant to stay in your comfort zone. Now, I admit, I will sometimes try to push, just give people a little push out of their comfort zone, but not hard, never hard, just a suggestion like, should I talk to my mom? Should I talk to my dad? Maybe you should just give, maybe instead of you talking to them, send them a link to a video, give them a book. I try to push people out of their comfort zone gently. If they don't want to go, then they don't go. They don't have the faith for it. But God parts to each the measure of faith. None of us have the Spirit without measure. Jesus Christ was the only one who had the Spirit without measure. What really heartened me about your comments on yesterday's show was your sense of love for those who are shipwrecked. Not one of you said, those stupid shipwrecked saints. See, God hasn't given them the measure of faith at that time either. But several of you said that, you know, Martin, that shipwrecked condition is temporary. They can be pulled out of it. Oh, that was beautiful to hear you say that. It's true. And that is what Paul was doing with Hymenaeus and Alexander when he delivered them to Satan. Surprising as that may sound, he delivered them to Satan. How can you say he's trying to pull them out of it? It's tough love. Talk about tough love. But Paul is delivering them to Satan so that they can be taught not to blaspheme, not to calumniate, which means blaspheme, basically. Again, it partly has to do with also false witness. Paul must have been so concerned that they stop doing this. He's desperate for them to stop doing it. And I told you yesterday that this illustrated to me Paul's care of these men. What does this tell you? Oh my gosh, what does this this tells me that even carrying your own salvation into effect, even keeping the faith, in other words, getting out of that shipwrecked condition, coming up out of the water, coming to the surface again, breathing the air of keeping the faith, breathing the air of once again, even though if you're not contending, you're not warring maybe, but at least you're above water now and you're of a saner disposition. You like God and Christ again. Many people at the bottom of that aquarium don't like God and Christ anymore. They're fed up with God and Christ. They're fed up with the frustration. They're fed up with the call, and they're done with it. They're done with it. They're done with it. I've heard people like this. But once called, always called. Once in the body, ever in the body. And so they can be helped. Paul exercises tough love. He delivers them to Satan. And so it must be of such value to be keeping the faith. Just that, we look overlooked at. Keep the faith, keep the faith. We tell each other, keep the faith. That's in the scriptures. Paul says to Timothy in 2 Timothy 4, as I told you yesterday, I have kept the faith. That's the most basic thing Paul did, but I kept the faith. This must be so valuable. We just think, oh, I kept the faith. Oh, that's all I'm doing. I'm just hanging on. I'm keeping the faith. Stop, stop it, stop it. This is so valuable. And you're going to get such a reward at the dais simply for that, that Paul has delivered these two men up to Satan so that they may be trained not to calumniate, so that he can get them out of the shipwrecked state. Paul says they're shipwrecked as to the faith, so he can get them out of there. Like, Paul is sparing nothing. This is dramatic. This is violent delivering up to Satan, but that tells you, and Paul knows the value of simply being above the surface and carrying your own salvation into effect and keeping the faith. Paul knows the value of it. We just take it for granted. I'm keeping the faith. That's all I'm doing, Martin. That's all you're doing. Paul delivered two guys up to Satan to get them out of the shipwrecked state so that they can do that. That's how valuable it is. That's why you're watching this show. When I figured this stuff out, when I realized these four levels and seeing how Paul so concerned about it and how important it is to keep the faith and how we think it's so common, but Paul is desperately trying to get these guys out of the shipwrecked state, I realized that's why we're doing this. That's why you're listening to me right now. Because it is easy to be shipwrecked. It's easy to say, I'm done with this. This world is too hard. It's too ridiculous. And many of you have told me, I come to MZTV. Martin, I come. I listen to you for a lifeline. A lifeline. Because even if I never quote one scripture and just talk about God and Christ and how much we love God and Christ, that it's of value to you. Even if I don't quote one scripture, I'm talking to you about God and Christ. And you need, it's like a vitamin pill, right? It's like a vitamin pill. You turn it on and you listen. It's like, okay, what are you doing? You're keeping the faith. And it's like a recharge. It's like a solar recharge. You need the recharge, because what happens if you take it out of the charger? What happens? It starts going down, down, down. You watch your cell going down, down, down. You're starting to get discouraged. You're starting to lose your perspective. The world is overwhelming you. And you turn on MZTV or Jax's show. Or you turn on Ace Theo. Or you turn on Rob. You turn on Seth, you turn on Wes, you turn on any number of beautiful saints who are heralding the gospel. Catherine. Just to get that recharge. And I'm telling you, if I or these other people never quoted a single scripture, it just came like Rob does sometimes. He just comes on and he just reads a passage from somebody's book. That's important, man, because it's too easy to lose it and become shipwrecked. But the love that you showed yesterday, like, oh, Martin, their shipwreck is just temporary. They can be brought out of it. We can bring them up out of it. And that was the same attitude of Paul. We can bring them out of it. Sometimes it takes a punch. Ask Dave Ward. He was going into some crazy teaching a few years ago, and I just, the way Dave describes it is, Martin, you kicked my ass, and I'm so thankful for that. I was going down into some crazy thing. You brought me right out. That's a love. It's an act of love. Dave recognized that. It's beautiful. It's an act of love. Paul delivering these two gentlemen up to Satan was an act of love. Delivering the man in Corinth was an act of love. He just doesn't love the people of the world that much to deliver them to Satan. He doesn't love them that much. You got to really love somebody to deliver them up to Satan, to be trained to get out of the shipwrecked state and to get back to the surface of just keeping the faith. So yes, if any of our brothers or sisters are in the shipwrecked state, we cannot lord ourselves over them. They're still in the body of Christ. We must be mutually disposed to them. The body of Christ suffers together. We sit with them in the ashes. We sit with them in the ashes of their suffering. And we love them. And we gradually bring them back up. We don't talk about how wonderful or how great our calling is and how we're just flying high in the Lord. Maybe you are. There's a time to talk about that, and there's a time not to talk about that. There's a time to be mutually disposed to that which is low, to those people who are low. And they might feel that they're one incident away from suicide or from just giving it up completely. But you're there for them. We're there for each other because we are the body of Christ.